I will say good morning, everybody. I see y'all was brave enough to invite me back. we always talk about all the changes that we're gonna make when we go to heaven. You know, we always talk about the things that we want to change, and it's gonna be changed. But, you know, this may be a little bit surprising to you, but when I get to heaven, there's some things about me I don't want to change. you know, I like, you know, the fact that I got some energy and I got a piece of sense of humor. I don't want that to change, you know. If I can enjoy church and enjoy hanging out with you and enjoy life in this world of sin and can smile and have a good time, then why would I want that to change when I get to heaven? So there's some stuff about me, you know, I want to be able to cut up with the angels and with Abraham and Samson and ask them some crazy questions about why they did some of the crazy stuff they did. You know, hey, if I'm made in God's image here, there's got to be something good about me. Got to be something good about me, ladies and gentlemen. I mentioned several times when I came here that I'm in a very active prison ministry, and I want you to continue to pray for our prison ministry. We're in 4 prisons sometime every week. We had something very interesting happen to us. we went to the prison. I was reading in the Desire of Ages, I think the Desire of Ages, and the Servant of the Lord said that when Jesus spoke, Jesus would always watch the faces of the people. And so Jesus would see people that was at his last meeting, and they came to this meeting, and Jesus would get happy. Said, oh, man, they came back to get some more. And Jesus would look at the people. When he said something, he would look and see how they received it, whether they accepted it or whether they rejected it. Well, we was in prison, and we was up doing our class. We wasn't making an appeal for people to give their life to Christ. We wasn't singing no song to get somebody to come and give their life to Christ. We wasn't doing none of that stuff. We were just up there giving the lecture and talking about what we were talking about. And all of a sudden, you know, in the class, it was this guy. And I always watch people in the class. And it was this guy that was sitting in the class, and he was just acting like, you know, the only reason I'm in here is because I didn't want to be out there. So I came in here with y'all. You know, y'all something different to look at. So he was just sitting in the class, and I kept looking at him. I said, man, I know why that guy is here. He just ain't had nothing else to do. And so we kept giving the class. Well, when we got halfway to class, the guy put his hand up. You know, we say, we wasn't asking a question. We weren't asking no questions. We were doing the lecture. And he said, okay, what you want, you know? He said, let me tell y'all something. He said, when I was little, he said, my mom and daddy took me to church, and they told me to give my heart to the Lord. And he said, when I got a little older, he said, I had a preacher friend. He told me, you need to give your heart to the Lord. And I gave my heart to the Lord. But he said, you know what? He said, none of that didn't mean nothing to me. He said, none of that meant nothing to me. He said, but today, from sitting in here, listening to y'all, he said, I today want to give my heart to the Lord on my own accord. With nobody pushing me. Nobody telling me to do it. Now, this happened in jail. In the penitentiary. Can't be no fruit in the penitentiary, can it? But I thought that was so amazing. And you know what we had to do? We had to stop. All of us got up, got all the prisoners up. We all stood around, grabbed hands. I told him what I was going to say. I want him to repeat it after me. We got together, we circled. He asked Jesus to come into his heart, forgive him his sin, And he believed it, and we talked about how he needed now to study the word and how to grow into Christ. We did all that, folks, right in prison. And that just blew me away. You know, nobody pushing me. I want to do this on my own. I thought that was so amazing. So amazing. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that was a part of my presentation. So if you're wondering when I'm going to get started, I already got it started, okay? But it's just good. I want you to know that what we may look at as an unpromising field, or what you may look at as, you know, crazy, folk, God's spirit is working in the jail. I can say that one day I'm just going to come up here and I'm just going to stand up and rattle to y'all prison stories about what goes on in jail, okay? And I think that you know, you will be amazed at some of the things that happen in jail. Now, I'm going to make a strange statement here. You know, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but sometimes I have to be honest. Well, no, let me don't say it that way. All the time, I have to be honest with people. Ooh, I'll definitely say sometimes, but all the time, I have to be honest with people. And folks, and when you're dealing with church folk, you know, sometimes, you know, people have the idea that everything they read in the Bible is talking to them or talking about them. Let me put it that way, talking about them. For an example, the Bible says that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And I have people quote that to me. But then I say that scripture may not be talking to you. They say, what you mean? I say, are you willing to do God's will? Okay? Are you obedient to God's will? Well, if you're not willing and obedient, that church is not talking to you. Is that true? The scripture says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So if I'm not willing and obedient, that scripture is not talking to me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now let me bring this a little bit, let me bring this closer to home. Now, we are Seventh-day Adventist Church. We say that we are God's remnant people. But let me read you a familiar text, Revelation chapter 14, verse 3. You'll know it when I start reading it. This is what the Bible says. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, every Adventist I have ever talked to said that scripture is talking about them. But guess what? When I get in their private life and I talk to them privately, I find out that scripture is not talking to them. Why is it not talking to them? Because the Bible says, if you keep his commandments, if you're not keeping them and don't have the faith of Jesus, that scripture is not talking about you. It's not talking about you. You see, we say, we're always quoting the scriptures from Revelation 14 and Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 and Revelation 22 about the commandments, keep the commandments, do the commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are not keeping and doing the commandments, those scriptures are not talking about us. And that's what I mean. You know, sometimes we need to be honest. That scripture didn't say, blessed are they that join the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It says, blessed are they that do and keep his commandments and have the spirit of prophecy and the testimony of Jesus. It's saying we have got to have all of those things or be obedient to those things before we can claim to be what the scripture says. The scripture may not even be. When I read the Bible now, I have to ask myself when I'm reading it. I want to read the Bible. I want to grab a promise and I want to take off running with it. Well, guess what? If I'm not doing what that scripture says, that scripture ain't talking about me. And so my thing, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you don't misunderstand me. My thing is today that sometimes I think we need to be honest and quit playing church. We need to stop. You know, to sit down and let's take an honest look at what the Bible is saying. And then I have to ask myself, and you have to ask myself, okay, am I in line with what this scripture is saying? Even the spirit of prophecy says that we cannot claim the promised blessings unless we are fulfilling the requirements of the promise. It would be ridiculous if you ask me for a job and I tell you, yes, well, you come to work and go to work. Yes, I will pay you. It's totally ridiculous for me to give you a job and hire you and you stay home and still want to get paid. But this is what we do with church, and this is what we do with God, and this is what we do with the Bible. We want what it promises, but yet we don't want to fulfill our part. And let's we all know it. It's not all me, and it's not all Jesus by himself. It is a combination of us. Okay. Well, all right. Let me get into what I really want to just mention today. If you look in your bulletin, the bulletin says the title of our message today is entitled what? It's for your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 7. And I want to read some scriptures. And I don't really care if I don't get to say a whole lot about what I'm going to read. But I want us to read it because I want us to get what God was trying to say. Proverbs chapter 7. I'm going to get in at verse 7. I'm going to read through verse 23. And if you will, please listen to what the Bible is saying and follow it and imagine it in your mind what is taking place. Because this is why I came today, to share what God shared with me. Proverbs 7, listen to what the Bible says. And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without. Now in the streets and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him and with an impotent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Our subject today is entitled, It's for Your Life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, today, just take us where you are. Help us to see things the way you do. And we pray for the impression of the Holy Spirit that he'll fill all of our lives to where we will want to do right, God. Make each one of us born again. Teach us and show us how to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. For you said, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But this morning, ladies and gentlemen, what I wanted to talk about was this particular scripture. And I wanted to read the whole scripture, ladies and gentlemen, because God put it in that way for a particular reason. You see, today I want us to talk about and just think about for a few minutes about temptation. About temptation and about sin. You see, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important that we understand this. And see, when I talked earlier about Revelation 14 and verse 12, about us keeping the commandments and doing the commandments, ladies and gentlemen, that is a very crucial point. When the scripture says that these people will be keeping them, these people will be doing them, these people are not the people who walk around and have them in their hand thinking that that's what it means. No, that is not what it means. These people will be living the life. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to read these scriptures so that we can sort of see what God is painting for us. God is letting us know that sin, no matter what it is, how deep it is, it always looks good. Did you get the graphics of how God painted her, how she was dressed, and how she came, and how she spoke to him, and how she addressed him, and how the Bible says she was able to force him, not with a gun, not with a knife or a sword. He says she was able to force him with her lips. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what it is that you haven't overcome. I don't care what it is that you're struggling with. You need to know today that the Bible says in verse 23 that we don't know that it's for our life. You might not think it's a big deal. You may have colored it. You may have said, this is just a little white sin. You may have said, this is just a little black sin. I don't care what color you have made it, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says all sin is for your life. God is not playing. God is not playing, ladies and gentlemen. When the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. In the very beginning, ladies and gentlemen, when God spoke to Adam and Eve and to God, God said, listen, sin will kill you. The day that you eat thereof, you're going to do what? Die. Ladies and gentlemen, just like Proverbs 7, did you see what the serpent did to Eve? The serpent didn't jump out of that tree and push Eve over to the bush. Yeah, get some of this fruit, girl. He didn't do that. The Bible says he forced her with her lips, with his lips. On. He made it look so good. Isn't that what happened to me and you? I don't care, Linda, I don't care what it is that you are indulging in. Let me tell you something today. The reason you are indulging in it is because you like it and you want it. But we need to remember the Bible says in verse 23 that no matter what the sin is, it's going to cost you your life. See, this is what we forget. And I can imagine Eve grabbing this big handful of fruit, just a skipping and a hopping, going to take it to her husband. But she didn't know on her very way to where her husband was, the very thing in her hand was costing her her life. But while we are tasting it, but while we are indulging in it, it's so good. It's almost like if this is
crazy.
(Clears throat) You know, God don't have to kill us. The devil really don't have to kill us. Because if we are willingly sinning, we're killing our own selves.
So whatever it is in your life that you can't give up and you don't want to give it up, ask yourself, is it worth your life? Let me tell you something. You can believe anybody you want to believe besides God. I tell you what, the devil made it so pretty to Eve, she could not resist, and she went hopping and skipping and rejoicing and singing and humming a tune as she was going through the garden to get her husband. I tell you what, and the devil had fed her head with that lie, but I guess you what, you cannot find Mother Eve on this earth anywhere today, because God's word was true. When you eat, you're going to die. It's for your life. That's what I want you to get. I don't even listen.
Now people come to me and I talk to people about all kinds of stuff. I mean, I could tell you stuff that blow your way. But what I'm saying is, I don't need to know what you are doing. I don't need to know that. But what I want you to know today is that it's going to cost you your life if you don't give it to Jesus and get rid of it. That's what you need to know. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. There is no such thing as hanging around sanctification or hanging around holiness. I can remember the Bible says about a man named Judas who hung around Jesus just about every day Jesus was here on this earth. Ate with him, listened to him preach, listened to him pray, listened to him give all these great, wonderful illustrations and all these stuff. And Judas walking around with the bag, stealing from the church every day. Let me tell you something. He didn't know when he was reaching in that bag, taking God's money. He didn't know that that thing was going to cost him his life. This is why, you know, Jesus, the Bible said Jesus pleaded and he begged. And we, ladies and gentlemen, how are we different from Judas? You know, I got the system where I can get amazing discoveries. I can get amazing facts. I can get breath of life. I can get all of that good stuff. And it's all around me. Come on, I'm in church at prayer meeting. Come to church on Sabbath and we hear all this stuff. And let me tell you something. There's no such thing as sanctification by association. I can walk out this church right now and go walk and get into bed with another woman that's not my wife. No such thing as sanctification by association. I have got to make a conscious, willing choice to do what the Bible says. If I am not right, to get myself right. And you know what? Let me tell you something very strange. Let me tell you something very strange. You know, sometimes I just ask people questions, you know, just to get people, you know. Let me tell you something. I have never, and I may not have asked you this question, so don't think I'm including you, okay? I have never found a Seventh-day Adventist that was willing to tell me that I could not live without committing a sin. Never. And the Bible says, here are they. No, the Bible says what? Here are they. Here are they that keep. Not them that want to be, but them that keep the commandments of God. So don't tell me what I can't do. I know it's not just me. I know it is me and Jesus together. Ephesians chapter 5. I just want to read scripture. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. The Bible says, that he might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of the water in the word. So God says, I'm going to sanctify you
And I'm going to cleanse you with the washing of the water by the word. And it goes on to say, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all know who have washed clothes, that when you wash clothes, they may be clean, but you can't put them on because they got wrinkles in them. Well, guess what? That's when you break out your ironing board and you get the wrinkles out, and then they're ready to clean. So the Bible says that before God can accept me into his church, that he's going to wash me and he's going to iron me. He's going to make me where he can present me without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, a lot of people don't know the difference between let me put it this way. Whenever I talk to people about living without committing known sin, they tell me that sanctification is the work of a lifetime. Oh, okay. Well, guess what? Sanctification is the work of a lifetime. But there's a difference between sanctification and sinning. You see, sanctification doesn't mean I'm sinning all my life. It just means I'm growing all my life. You see, we get that confused. You see, a person who's being sanctified, you see, the Bible gives an illustration. It says, grow in grace and the knowledge of a Savior Jesus Christ. A baby in his mother's womb and a seed that you plant in the ground, each stage of development of that seed is perfect. Correct? So it is with the Christian. Each stage of my growth is perfect. You see? Now, how does the Bible talk about, well, how can sanctification be the work of a lifetime if not I'm not sinning all the time? Well, guess what? Let me illustrate it this way. Let me go to Matthew chapter 5. This is what the Bible talks about. Okay. Let's do this. Okay, I learned from the Bible that thou should not commit adultery. Okay? I learned that. I'm going to use the illustration the Bible gives so we can understand. The Bible says, I learned from the Bible that thou should not commit adultery. Okay, so let's go. I'm a good boy. Women offer me their bodies all the time. I say no. All right? I'm being sanctified. But guess what? As I continue reading my Bible, remember Ephesians says we're sanctified by the word. But guess what? Even though I didn't get into bed with any woman, guess what? Ooh boy, I was sure in the bed with her in my head. But guess what? When I read the Bible, and guess what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 26 and 27? He said, thou had heard that been said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. See, this is how I grow. You see, I've already got it. I already got it where I won't get in the bed with a woman that's not my wife. I got that. But then Jesus come along and said, hey, boy, guess what? You can't lust either. And I said, oh, man, I didn't know that, Jesus. I didn't know I couldn't lust. You know, Jesus, you don't understand. This lusting is just between me and, you know, she don't know it. And I mean, you know, but, you know, you. Jesus said, And so, okay, now I don't get into bed with the woman. So now Jesus said, okay, now we gotta work on your thoughts. So sanctification, me and Jesus get them thoughts together. All right? Okay, but let's just go a little bit deeper. Let's go over Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read you something else that I thought was very interesting. Hebrews chapter 4. But see, I like helping people. And listen, we're just going to show you how sanctification, how it progresses in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to what this scripture says. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, the piercing even to the dividing of the soul, of the soul, the spirit, and the joints, and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know what? I don't get into bed with women now. I've got my thoughts controlled.
as far as me undressing her and imagining what it's going to like. But guess what? I see this woman. I'm not going to get in the bed with her. I'm not undressing her. But guess what? I'm helping her. Her car broke down. I'm helping her. I stopped to help her. But guess what? You know the real reason? See, the Bible says spirit in the word is a discerner of the intents. Why did I really stop? I really stopped because I'm hoping that somewhere down the road that me stopping to help her might do what? Huh? Anybody brave enough to say it? No, ain't nobody brave enough to say it. You see, I'm stopping to help her because I'm hoping maybe somewhere down the road I might can get what I want, really, maybe. You see, so when I learned that, sanctification.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. God, you right. You right.
Yeah, as always. You know my real purpose for helping that lady. It wasn't because I'm a good guy. Because I was hoping that maybe someday it might lead me to something else. You see. So when I learned that, me and God gets control of that. And guess what? God takes me on to something else. You see? This is sanctification. Sanctification is growth. So each stage of your growth, you are considered perfect with God. And see, ladies and gentlemen, see, this is why when the thief on the cross accepted Christ and got it together on the cross, even though he was just born, just a seedling, just born, he was perfect in that stage. And that's why Christ could take him to heaven. And you see, where we fail, where we come short, that's where the righteousness of Christ comes in and finishes up what we didn't get to develop. You see? And this is what sanctification is. Sanctification, we hear people talk about, and that is true. Sanctification is a work of a lifetime, but sanctification being a work of a lifetime doesn't mean you're sinning all your life. It means you're growing all of your life. Because you know, sometimes when I get in my closet and I'm praying to God and you know, we're getting things straight, you know, and God starts showing me stuff about me, I say, God, thank God I'm messed up. I'm messed up. But when he shows me, okay, God, you're right. And he said, now this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. And so I follow God's steps in my growth. And that's how we talk about, we keep going higher and higher in all this growth and spiritual development. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Temptation comes to everybody different. Now, the spirit of prophecy says that the devil hates Seventh-day Adventist people as a general, but he hates Seventh-day Adventist preachers the worst. I call myself a little preacher. But guess what? Not long ago, I was going somewhere minding my own business in my truck. I saw a young lady who was gladly dressed way down the road, and she was carrying a big box bent over like she was about to fall in the road. And I'm saying, what in the world is this woman doing going down the road like that? And so when I pulled up there in my truck, I said, ma'am, can I help you? I mean, like, you having a rough time. She said, yeah. She said, I just got put out of my house. And she said, I'm trying to get down there to where I'm moving to, and I didn't have nobody to help me move. I said, okay, well, hey, come on. So we got in my truck. We started going down the road. And I noticed out the corner of my eye, this young lady looking at me. Just like in Proverbs, she was very attractive. Very attractive. And it was night, just like in Proverbs. And I saw her looking at me out the corner of my eye. And she said to me, she said to me, She said, do you want to have sex? Just like Proverbs, gladly dressed, she left not much to my imagination. She asked me three times. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Sometimes, all the time when it comes to sin, we have got to learn to say no, no matter how good it is, no matter how good it feels, no matter how drawing it is to you. Let me read you something real quick. I'm going to let y'all go in a few minutes. I just got a couple things to share with you. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, 18, 19. It says, for I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So ladies and gentlemen, let's get some things straight. The Bible lets us know that in this life, the presence of sin will always be with me and you. No matter how good you become, no matter what you do, I don't care how sanctified you get, it's not going to stop. The presence of sin is always going to be here. Temptation is always going to be here. And it's going to be here until the day Jesus comes. But guess what? Even though the presence of sin is always here and with us, we can have victory over the power of sin in our lives. And that's what God wants us to have. You know, lacking in desire of ages, it says that Jesus, when he was born in the worst community in his day. Why could Jesus be born in the worst community in his day? Because the presence of sin does not mean you have to sin. This is why I can go on a street corner where the hookers are. This is why I can go where the winos are and stand up and talk to them, because the presence of sin doesn't mean it has to contaminate me. You see, and this is what we don't get. We think, oh, because sin is here, oh, I gotta do it. No! No, no! So don't think, I don't care where you go. You listen to Dutch back and talking about he went up to the cave and stayed there for a while, and guess what? He had problems out in the cave by himself, trying to do right. So don't think you're going to get away from sin. I don't care where you go. Sin, the presence of sin is always here. And guess what? The reason I can't get away from sin, because the Bible writer says there is a law within me. This is why I can't get away from sin. But when Adam and Eve sinned, that sin came into their flesh and they were passed on to their children, and I am one of their offspring. And so now, this is why we cannot separate ourselves from the presence of sin, but we can separate ourselves from the power of sin, which is what we want. Listen, I know there are some places I just shouldn't go. That's because I think I'm super holy or super righteous. But guess what? If my son or my daughter was in a nightclub or a juke joint or in a drug-infested neighborhood, I don't care who was down there. If I knew they was needing my help and was in trouble, I would go. Not fearing. I'm not there to partake in the sin. I'm not there. I'm there to save my son or my daughter. And I'm amazed at God, and this is all God did when he looked down and saw this earth and what we had got ourselves into. God said, I got to go. He said, I'm not going for the sin. I'm going for my people. This is where you and I have got to be, ladies and gentlemen. Listen,
Come on, people. And we need to do things that the Bible said we ought to do to keep us away from sin. Psalms 101, verse, y'all know it. This is what the Bible writes says, Psalm 101, verse 3. He says, this helps us, ladies and gentlemen, to keep ourselves away from sin. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot feed yourself. You know what? You know that old saying they got with the computers? Garbage in, what? Garbage out. The same thing with our minds. How can you expect to overcome sin and to be victorious if you're going to sit down there and look at it on your laptop, look at it on your computer, look at it on your smartphone, get the magazine that come to your house in the brown paper bag, wrapper, so nobody can tell what you're reading. That stuff not going to cut it. Bible says we have got to set no wicked thing before our eyes. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I don't care if you come to my house. If you come to my house and sit out in my den and I clip my television on and I put something on in front of you, you know that a Christian should not be looking at. You need to still tell me to change the channel. And if I won't change the channel, you ought to get up and walk out. You ain't got to leave the house. You need to go out in the yard. You better be having done or something. I don't know why you're there. But the point is, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, that includes people. Listen, I'm not afraid of people. Some of y'all think something wrong with me, but I can tell you a story. Stuff that happened to me that women have done to me and tried to do to me, I'm not afraid of them for that respect, but I don't hang around them because I know what their intent and their purposes for me are. I'll speak a word for Jesus and his word and move on. I'm not going to tarry there. You see, and I like what the servant of the Lord says. If you got the little book the Spirit of Prophecy, the volume called Spirit of Prophecy, read the section about Enoch. She said that Enoch only would go into town and hang around the wicked. He only hung around it long enough until he saw that he was no longer benefiting them spiritually. When they no longer accepted his teaching or what he had to say, it was time for him to move on. That's the way it is. We got to be with our friends, our relatives, our cousins. That don't mean you avoid them, but it means when you can't benefit them, Enoch, you will go hang around them. He could not benefit him no more. He went back to the woods, did his praying and his thing, and he came back some more. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about sanctification. We're talking about sin. Ladies and gentlemen, today I just want us to get it in our heads what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs 7:23 that we need to remember, I don't care what your sin is, how good it may sound, how good it may feel. I don't care how long you've been doing it. But the Bible says in verse 23 that we need to know that every sin can cost us our life. God says, boy, told me, boy, you just don't know what you're playing with. You just don't know what we're playing with. I'm still amazed that how the wisest man on the entire earth could become the biggest F-O-L, whatever y'all call that word, that ever lived just about. But yet he was supposed to be the wisest man that ever lived. And what made him like that, ladies and gentlemen? Did somebody put a gun to his head? No, he was persuaded just like Eve and just like this man in Proverbs 7. He was persuaded by somebody's lips. It don't take no gun to make you sin. It don't take no knife to make you thin. We choose it. We choose it, ladies and gentlemen. Ask yourself. Why do you do it? You chose it. You know the stuff we talking about in the last days about the mark of the beast, you know. But guess what? Let's go let them notice something. The beast is going to try to kill those because the Bible says they are keeping the commandments of God.
Not that they toted it around, but they are keeping. That's why he got to kill them. Because they're not sinning on their own. They're not choosing to do it. They don't want to do it. And they get up to the place where they say, listen, I don't care what you do. You take my house, my land, my Social Security, my unemployment check. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. You can have it. I'm going to obey Jesus. And those are the kind of people he's going to force and try to make them do it. Not me and you if we just walking into sin and doing what we want to do. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, when you sin, if you sin this morning, don't wait till the night to confess it and get it right. When you sin, confess it then. And ladies and gentlemen,
okay, I'm finished.
All I wanted to do
was to hear what God shared with me.
He was talking to me, and he said, man, you're, maybe you ought to share that. Maybe somebody else needs to know that. He said, God said, boy, swear your life. You might do that, and it feels good when you did it, but it's probably going to cost you your life. Proverbs 7 says it's going to cost you your life.
I remember when I was a little boy,
we used to make these rabbit boxes, little long rabbit boxes. You had a little dough in the front, and we used to rub onions on that dough and throw banana peels and apple peels inside that box and put a little onions right in front of the box. That little rabbit, he'd come in there just walking, and he'd smell them rabbits, sticking that little nose up. He'd come and smell the dough, and he'd look all around the rabbit box. Then he'd walk on in that little rabbit box, and the Bible says, just like that bird.
He didn't know that it was for his life. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what your sin is. I don't care how big it is or how little you may think it be. The Bible says, it's for your life. It's for your life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, what would we do without you reminding us? And so today we want to thank you again for reminding us about sin. God, help us to know that it's for our life. And God, as you look at each one of us, you know the hairs on our heads, you know everything about us, God. There's nothing we can hide from you, God. Some of our intents and our purposes are all messed up, God. Some of our thoughts are just all haywire, dear God. But we know, dear God, today you have promised that we can do all things through you, that you want to sanctify us and you want to cleanse us through the word. And so help us to love the Bible. Help us to read it, because when we read it, God, oh, we learn so much and we see how and what you want us to be. And by beholding, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that by beholding we become changed. So God, today, please, some kind of way, God, help us to please, help us, God, to please to take a realistic look at our lives. When Revelation says that here are they that do his commandments, God, help us ask ourselves the question, is that scripture talking about me, or do I just boldly disobey God's commandments whenever I feel like it or when I want to, and when I don't think nobody is looking, when I think it's just me doing it? Help me, God. Help us, please, God, to know that scripture is not talking about us. It's talking about those people who are serious and are committed to you. God, and I don't know, God, you may have to speak to some of us when we leave this place. I don't know. But God, we need to know what Proverbs 7:23 says. That bird and that young man, neither one of them knew that it was for their life. And even though, God, you told Eve in the beginning it's going to be for your life, yet she didn't pay no attention because she was so caught up in the temptation and the beautiful picture that the serpent had pictured for her, Lord. And we are like that, God. We are so caught up in the picture and the image that we have in our mind of how glorious and how good sin is that we forget about what you said. Thank you today for reminding us that it's for our life, God. Please. Jesus died for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Help us to not let some ridiculous sin that all gonna burn up and perish anyway, keep us from you and from eternal life.
And God help us to continue to study and to remember that sanctification is a work of a lifetime, but it means we'll continue to grow. Not we're going to continue sinning, but we're going to continue to grow. You're going to keep revealing to us, and we're going to keep overcoming and be victorious and be victorious and victorious. Oh, God, please, thank you so much for reminding us. And as we go today and separate and go our separate ways, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that your angels will continue the ministry that you have given to them. Not only writing down all of our thoughts and purposes and intent, God, but drawing us to you, helping us, telling us to pick up your Bible. Pick up your Bible, pray, or go speak to this person or talk to that person, share my love, God, and help us not be hypocrites, Lord. Help us not to be facades. Help us not just be coming to church playing and acting like those scriptures are talking about us when they're really not, because our lives are nothing like the Bible says. But we know, God, that we can't do nothing without you. But God, you don't make us do anything either. So it's a combination of us and you working together through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. And so please help us to continue to study. Make us, God. Help us to want to be serious. Help us to be serious, God. Make us born again. Give us the Holy Spirit. Fill us and anoint us and help us to learn to walk in the Spirit. And you say, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Please bless us to this end, God. We pray. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen.